There's a secret that runs through the whole of Mark's gospel. Yet it's a secret that's been in plain sight for everyone to see. And in today's reading, Jesus asks his disciples, who exactly has worked it out? Who do people say that I am? You see, in this week's reading, in every way possible, we're at the centre of Mark's gospel. This reading is quite literally amongst the middle passages of Mark's account. In this carefully arranged work, it marks a major transition in the story from Jesus' ministry of opposing all that oppresses God's people by his healing and his feeding and his casting out of demons and all the rest, switching to Jesus' journey towards the cross. Mark's gospel is an amazing piece of writing. He doesn't just tell us a chronological biography of the story of Jesus, but he crafts together a beautifully structured collection of Jesus' stories into one big story. Some have compared it to pearls being thread on a string. Anyone wearing a pearl necklace today? I can't see my phone, Susan. I'm sure you know they go from the smallest to the largest in the centre to the smallest again. They're carefully collected and arranged in order to make that beautiful shape and pattern. Mark's gospel is exactly the same. Others have compared it to climbing a mountain, that we start at the bottom and we climb up to the pinnacle of Mark's gospel, which is today's reading. It's fascinating because we tend to tell stories in a linear fashion. We assume that the most important point is the conclusion. That's where it all builds up to. In ancient Middle Eastern writing, including Mark's gospel, that's just not the case. The most important point is the centre. The gospel builds up until we literally get to this mountaintop. And the central point of Mark's gospel? Who do people say that I am? Jesus asks. Who do people say that I am? So from the beginnings of the story of Jesus' ministry, as we've read through Mark's gospel in this lectionary year, we've been joining the disciples in climbing that mountain on a journey to the summit that we reach today. And that question is asked of us just as much as it's asked of those characters in the story. Jesus and his disciples have been all over Galilee, and they're now on the outskirts of the town Caesarea Philippi. When he says, who is it that people say that I am? And perhaps more to the point, in the light of everything you have experienced of me, who do you say that I am? As we heard in the reading, they answer both questions. The first with comparisons to important biblical figures, the second with Peter's flash of insight, that this Jesus was more than a mere miracle worker or prophet, but is indeed God's anointed one, the Messiah. As we read on, we see that turning point that emphasises that this is the pinnacle of the gospel. From that moment, the narrative changes. Jesus begins to explain what it means to be the Messiah. And no one, including Peter, can quite believe it. Why? Well, Jesus just didn't fit the bill. He wasn't what people expected. He wasn't the powerful leader that many perhaps wanted. And let's face it, would we have reacted any differently in that situation? Probably not. Because more often than not, we too look for God to come in strength when we're in trouble, not to meet us in our weakness. And so, although we may not often get the God we want, in Jesus, I hope we discover the God we need. The one who doesn't overwhelm us and take over, but meets us in our brokenness in order to heal and restore and redeem. A pretty good pattern for ministry, I'd say. And a pretty fair reflection on Andy's ministry here. So we'll turn to Andy for a moment or two. Andy, we're here today partly to bid you farewell. You've been accepted for training as a URC minister, and there's obvious comparisons with today's reading. You've clearly reached the pinnacle, and it's all downhill from here. To be more serious, there are comparisons which gravitate around this central question of identity. Who do people say that I am? Or rather, who do people say Andy is? Well, I've edited out some of the answers I've received. But to so many, you are and have been such a positive part of their lives. To some, you've been their pastor for many years, and seeing you move on today will be hard for them. To many in this area, in South Manchester, you've been the one who've walked with them in their grief at the time when they've lost a loved one, conducting countless funerals at the crematorium and cemetery down the road. To others, you've been the rock on which their application to stay in this country has been firmly anchored. There are people here today who, in perhaps more ways than one, wouldn't be here today without your ministry. To others, I suspect you've been a fairly intimidating and fastidious magistrate. To me, you've been a good colleague and friend, and we're all going to miss you. But what you leave behind here, what you've helped to create over many years, is a remarkable congregation where people can come, often with intimate questions of personal identity themselves, and discover afresh who it is they are in the eyes of God. Where people have the safe and sacred space to learn more about how to be themselves. Something which everyone could do with a little more of from time to time, I suspect. And you leave here also at a time of discovery for the congregations that meet here as they forge a new identity together, fusing experience of tradition and mission to discover afresh who they say Jesus is to the community in which they serve. And I hope, Andy, that for you this theme travels with you. For although you may well be the most experienced Ordinam the URC has ever attempted to train, with emphasis on the attempted, I hope that you take this theme with you, and that your period of training will be at least as much about learning who you are and where you've come from, more than it is learning about what the URC is, which is surely a lifetime's work. And you use this time to explore afresh who you say Jesus is, who you say you are, and to help those things inform where God might therefore be calling you next. And then, that's it. The pinnacle moment has been reached. This isn't where we can remain. Where do we each go from here? I don't think it's surprise or coincidence that in Mark's Gospel, Jesus goes on to talk about losing your life in order to save it from this point, leaving behind things that have been important and precious because you're being called on to something new. I'm sure we've all experienced those kind of things in our own lives. Maybe in little ways, but nonetheless important. Have you ever noticed that it's when we give a gift that we recognise how much it is that we have? Or if you've ever discovered on occasion that it's only by loving another that you feel truly loved? Or have you ever gone without something in order that somebody else could be helped in need? Or have you ever found that the best way to find a friend is to be a friend? And that unexpected rewards always seem to come through sacrifice. Each of these, perhaps small, but still compelling glimpses of the kingdom and the way of Jesus. An inverted logic, if you like, different to so much of what the world tells us is the way things work round here. That we only find security through possessions or power. A logic that pits us against one another, as if love is somehow finite. And yet, against all of this, Jesus still urges us to give of ourselves, to put others first, to take up burdens on behalf of another. That passage about taking up your cross, we often use it as if to say it means putting up with something that has afflicted us. And yet I don't read that here. It's much more about positively taking something up you don't have to, and still doing so willingly for the sake of the gospel. So let's leave today, not on the mountaintop, but having taken the first step into these unknown journeys, confident in our identity, in who we have been, who we are, and with God's help, who we will become. God bless you, Andy. Blessings to everyone here. And travel well.